Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
I'm Tanzina Vega, and you're listening to The Takeaway. According to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, 61 million adults in the United States are living with a disability. That's one in every four adults. And there are many obvious ways that public policy has not adequately addressed people with disabilities, as anyone who rides the New York City subway can tell you. But there are also policies that are invisible to most of the general public, and they can have a big impact on people with disabilities. Take our federal labor laws, which allow certain employers to pay people with disabilities far less than the minimum wage. For more on this, I spoke with Robin Powell, an attorney and a research associate at the Lurie Institute for Disability Policy at Brandeis University. And I started by asking her why companies are able to pay subminimum wage for people with disabilities.
In the 1930s, when the Fair Labor Standards Act was passed, there was a provision called 14C, which allows for companies to apply for a certification from the U.S. Department of Labor so that they can pay people with disabilities less than minimum wage, sometimes as little as pennies an hour. And it was this result of a lot of disabled vets coming back from war and needing job training. That was the original thought. But we're seeing that this is continuing on today, and it's actually not serving as really a job trainer at all.
And when we say people with disabilities, can you help us understand what that means in this context and also how big the disparity is in pay?
People who receive subminimum wage typically are people with an intellectual disability or a mental health or psychiatric disability. However, there are other disabilities. For instance, several blind people also are receiving subminimum wage. And again, the discrepancy is really pretty significant. I know people who are making 6 cents an hour. So where the minimum wage is significantly more than that, we know that some people are getting paid pennies. When I was a social worker several years ago before I went to law school, I worked with adults who had intellectual disabilities, and my individuals would come home after a week of working 35 to 40 hours and have a paycheck for $40 for the week. And so they were working at Goodwill, where they were hanging clothes alongside non-disabled individuals who were getting paid at least minimum wage, and they were getting paid far less.
You mentioned Goodwill. A lot of folks think of them as a charitable organization, and that's what they purport to do. Have you heard anything from Goodwill? I mean, why they would allow this to happen?
So they really say that they are doing this to train people with disabilities to be able to work in competitive integrated employment. That is sort of the whole belief system behind subminimum wage. However, research shows that about 5% of people that work in these sheltered workshops or subminimum wage work centers ever leave. So people aren't really actually being trained to leave. And so I would argue that this is actually not training, but cheap labor.
And again, if you could help us understand the original intent of this law, what was the thinking behind allowing employers to pay disabled people less than the minimum wage?
It was really based on this charitable approach to disability. We're helping people with disabilities out. Look at us. We're doing something good. And it was really supposed to be this training mechanism that would enable people to eventually work getting competitive earnings. But we've never really moved beyond that. We've never actually had an area where people would go into these trainings and then move on to work, regular work. There are states where they don't have sheltered workshops and people are working in normal jobs, getting normal wages, and that's fine. It's working out well for them. So there's no reason not to eliminate 14C altogether.
Let's talk a little bit about context here. I mean, in terms of job discrimination, how prevalent is it for people with disabilities?
So job discrimination is a really significant issue. People with disabilities are unemployed at significant rates. I mean, I would argue that some of that is in part due to rapid discrimination against people with disabilities. I mean, I've encountered my own discrimination. I can tell you that it is something that is alive and well.
And when we think about the fact that many people with disabilities also rely on services like Medicaid or Social Security Disability Insurance, does that help or hurt these employees?
That is the other issue. So I would argue that these policies and programs that really disincentivize people with disabilities from working, so as you mentioned, Medicaid, Social Security Disability Insurance, and Supplemental Security Income, which is SSI, those policies all include very strict income limits, so you cannot make over a certain amount and still receive benefits. And the problem is people need Medicaid. So Medicaid is the only health insurance that will provide home and community-based services. So personal care attendants, for instance, someone that can come into someone's house and help them get out of bed in the morning and get ready for the day and do other things throughout the day. But Medicaid's the only insurer that will pay for that help. So you have to really commit to poverty in order to get out of bed in the morning. So people have to choose, should I work or should I be able to get out of bed in the morning?
So earlier in our conversation, you mentioned that you had dealt with discrimination, workplace discrimination. Would you be able to tell us a little bit about that?
Absolutely. So when I was graduating college, as I mentioned earlier, I have my undergraduate degree in social work. You know, throughout college, I had 3 different internships. I graduated with pretty high honors from college. So on paper, I was this dream applicant. I applied to lots of social work jobs when I was getting ready to graduate, and employers would call me and comment on the experience I have and say, basically, you know, coming in for an interview is just a formality. And that always changed the minute I rolled into the office in my wheelchair, and all of a sudden, these employers that did not know I was disabled all of a sudden were really concerned about hiring me. Some were very explicit. They would say, we just don't think you can do this because of your disability. Others were a little less explicit, so they just would never return my phone calls or they would not respond to emails. And in the end, I interviewed for over 30 social work jobs before I actually found an employer who was able to hire me and who's willing to hire me, rather. And that was several years ago. And since then, I have worked in disability law, so I haven't encountered as much discrimination since then, although I think it's because I am very aware of my rights now as a disability rights attorney, so I am far better of an advocate. But the discrimination is still definitely a thing.
Robin Powell, Research Associate at the Lurie Institute for Disability Policy at Brandeis University. Thanks again, Robin.
Thank you for having me.
We reached out to Goodwill Industries about this issue, and they responded by saying that local Goodwill organizations have been transitioning away from the use of special minimum wage certificates, and that only 30 of the 152 Goodwills in the U.S. currently maintain the certificate, down from more than 80 6 years ago. You can read their full statement on our website at thetakeaway.org.